Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith. Well, on yesterday's broadcast, I shared some passages out of the first chapter of Romans that talks about the evil of the world, those that just have a depraved mind. Paul says they disobey their parents, they're senseless, they're faithless, heartless, ruthless, and basically they've just kicked off every restraint, kicked off every aspect of morality, and it's whatever is good for themselves. There's a selfishness, there is, Jude talks, brute beasts. And beloved, we are living in a time that we really have to know the Lord. We need to develop an intimacy in our relationship with the Lord that we've never known before, to draw close to Him. One brother said that Christians know what's coming, not only because we see it in the Bible, but because we've tasted the sorrowful fruit of our own sins. We don't escape the truth that we reap what we sow. Our marriages, our children, our churches, our institutions, they're all troubled because of our sins. The difference is we weep over our sins. We don't celebrate them. We don't institutionalize them. We turn to Jesus for forgiveness and help. We cry to Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. And it goes on, the word in Philippians 3, 18 through 19, to describe those who are just caught up in wickedness and all kinds of iniquity. Paul says, "For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. For their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is on earthly things." But beloved, the important thing is, what do we do as Christians in this hour? Well, we need to pray and we need to repent. Luke 18 and 1, Jesus was telling his disciples, and he showed them that they should always pray and not give up. Continue in prayer. Pray always. And then we have to understand as Christians, there are two values we need to embrace. One is the truth and trustworthiness of the Bible. The Bible is our guide, our all-sufficient rule for faith and for living a godly life. Both the Old and the New Testaments are verbally inspired of God, and they are basically the revelation of God to man, the infallible, authoritative rule of faith and conduct. And so we believe as Christians that it's in the Bible that we find a true guide for life and godliness. And when we're under the Word of God and through our understanding of it, even though we may not fully comprehend every spiritual truth, and though our obedience may not be always what it should be, we don't have any right to impose on the Bible our own meanings and agendas. And there are many in the Christian world, nominal Christian world, that have said the Bible really isn't relevant for today, and they are making adjustments accordingly to their preferences, to their understanding. And so, beloved, those of us who believe the Word of God, and in fact, entire denominations are being divided, have been and are going to be divided by whether we believe the Word of God is the Word of God or that it needs to be modified according to cultural and political relevance. So, as a Bible-believing individual, we have to embrace the truth no matter how costly, no matter how awkward or how unpopular it might be. So we have to be convinced of the absolute truth and inerrancy of the Bible, and then of course we have to have the love of Christ. What did Jesus do? He didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. He welcomed sinners. He ate with them. He got the religious community awful upset. They were angered. They were offended. And they didn't approve of his fellowship with disreputable people. But the Holy Spirit and the heart of God have not changed. God continues to reveal himself to convict and to woo sinners. And furthermore, he invites us to join in his work. Beloved, we just have to understand this time in which we live is a time that God has prepared us for. All the former years of your life, you might say, well, you feel so insignificant to God's plan, but God has worked in your life to bring you to the point where you are at currently. He's not finished with you. He's not finished with me, but he is in process. He will perfect that which concerns you. So, beloved, let us be found about doing the Lord's work. And I'd like to refer now back to that pivotal scripture in Hosea, the sixth chapter, where the word says, come and let us return unto the Lord. If we'll do that, it says, he will heal us and he will bind us up. Then shall we know, verse 3, if we follow on to know the Lord. You see, that's indicating that if there's a choice on our part, some Christians are just happy, they just want to get saved, they just want to be in heaven, and they really are not interested in really developing or following the call that Christ has given to his people to become his disciples, to take up our cross and follow him. But for those who are willing, for those who will follow on to know the Lord, it says he will come to those, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Praise God. So, beloved, we are God's people. We're the planting of the Lord. Remember that scripture of James 5 and 7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until you receive the early and the latter rain. Now, what is the prophetic significance of these verses in Hosea that I have shared with you? Well, beloved, when we return to God, God will then turn to us in mercy. Something happens. God will give us more knowledge of himself. In Isaiah 11, the ninth chapter, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. There is a maturing and there's a perfecting process, and we acquire not only knowledge, but the grace to increase in knowledge. Let me share a familiar passage found in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 11, which begins, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. As we allow the gifts and the callings to be perfectly harmonious and working within the body of Christ, we're not only going to come into unity, we're going to come into a knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ Jesus. So, beloved, when we will return to the Lord, there are three results, if you will. There's a growing experience, and there are times of refreshing and spiritual abundance. Let's just take a moment to look at the growing experience. Then shall we know if we follow on. And beloved, it's in the nature of every living thing to grow. We've been compared, as I shared in earlier broadcasts, in various places in Scripture, as the planting of the Lord, a tender plant. We've been called trees and oaks of righteousness. And just as in the natural world, in order for a plant or a tree to grow, to be healthy, to be prosper, it has to have certain things. It has to have the natural sunlight. It has to have the natural rain. And the sun of righteousness, as S-O-N of righteousness, will arise upon us with healing in his wings. He will also give us an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the early and the latter rain. So, Beloved, spiritual life is not a stagnant pool, but an ever-deepening stream. Remember Jesus said, referring to the Holy Spirit, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Psalm 87 and 7 says, all my springs are in thee. Beloved, we are to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Him who is the source and force of new life. Proverbs, that second chapter, talks about wisdom, the rewards of wisdom. And it says, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. So as we turn unto the Lord, we will experience a growth process, which is greatly to be desired. Amen. Well, I want to stop at this point in the teaching, and with the Lord's help, we'll continue tomorrow. But I just want to just take a moment to pray with you. I feel, beloved, the Lord is exerting you to a place of prayer, and I've been aware of the letters that have been coming in. We cannot be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. Our weapons, however, are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What did He tell Joshua? Be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God is with thee. And beloved, all that you need to fight the good fight of faith, the Lord has already given you. So let's trust the Lord. Let's believe Him that greater is He that's in you than he that is in the world. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for every listener. I thank you, Father, that you will make us very alert to the schemes of the evil one. Give us, Lord, a greater sense of that authority and commanding power that you have given us to walk in. Enable us, Lord, to not only see the enemy routed in our own lives, but as we come together, as we pray, as we fast and seek your face, we will see revival in this nation. Lord, we won't give up. That's our prayer. That's our stand. And we pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that you will move in individual churches. Father, that you will cause those that are preaching heresy, Lord, you will shut their mouths, and we proclaim the truth of God's words to be revealed and declared in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I must bring this broadcast to a close. Thank you for joining me. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,